Pat's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Good morning. This is Scott Buttram here for the Jeff Poor Radio Show, Talk 106.5. I hope we're glad that you've joined us today. I'll be filling in for Jeff today, and I'll also be filling in on Monday. A lot of you may be familiar with me. I am a regular guest on the show. We're going to get right to our first guest this morning. We have joining us now the United States Senator from Alabama, Senator Katie Britt. Senator Britt, thank you for being on.
Scott, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity always to be on the Jeff Poor Show, and it's especially neat to get to be on here with you.
I appreciate that very much, Senator. I think we would be remiss if we didn't start with today's anniversary. I got a release from your folks today. We are here at the Trustful Tribune in the Birmingham area, so it is a pretty big event for us. Would you like to speak on that a bit?
Absolutely. I mean, today, I hope that at 10:22, we all reflect, not only in that moment, but throughout the day, on the devastating tragedy that occurred 60 years ago here in our state. Think about the young women who lost their lives, but also think about what that means and make sure that we recommit ourselves to knowing that we can never let hatred and bigotry rule the day, that we continue each and every day to work to form a more perfect union and to be a leader in these spaces at every turn.
Well, it was certainly a seminal moment for the civil rights movement and a seminal moment for the state of Alabama. Those four little girls and the tragedy they suffered really changed the trajectory of everything in this state.
And you look at what that meant, and you look at the tragedy and how people used it as a catalyst to showcase the travesty, the devastation, all of the terrible things that were occurring, be able to bring that to light and really move the movement forward. So while it was just such a dark, dark day, we do know that people use their memory and use the tragedy to realize that we must do more, be more, not only for the state, but for the nation.
That's right. I agree with that. Senator, we've got a short time, and we've got a lot of things I want to touch on. And first of all, thank you for coming on late notice and giving an opportunity for our audience to hear your thoughts on some of the biggest issues facing our country. One of the most recent issues is yet another horrible foreign deal with a foreign country, this time the Iran deal, where we are giving up or we're releasing $5 or $6 billion in Iran's assets, and again, we're trading prisoners for terrorists, political prisoners for terrorists. I know you've been very vocal on that. Can you address this?
Absolutely, Scott, and I appreciate the opportunity to bring this up and to discuss it very directly. This is yet again another example of Biden's failed leadership. We saw this, if you rewind a year ago. Now let's be clear, every one of us are always joyful and grateful to be able to have Americans come back on our soil, so please don't misconstrue my comments here. But when last year, Iran took a look. They looked at what we did. He swapped Victor Bout, the merchant of death, with Russia for Brittany Griner, who was obviously an American basketball player. That switch was absolutely ridiculous. But this one is even worse. That pales in comparison to what we are seeing today. What you have is you have Americans who were unjustly detained. Five Americans unjustly detained. Now here you have five Iranians that these terrorists wanted released, that they ultimately got released, that had been given due process and that were rightly convicted. So we are switching unjustly detained Americans for people who were rightfully convicted. not. So just in and of itself, that swap is a bad deal. It is additionally a terrible deal because what they see is that America is willing to pay ransom for people who are taken hostage. This will only allow Iran and other bad actors, this will incentivize them to take more Americans because they know they're going to get something in return. Additionally, what this did was not only a swap of persons, but it also released, as you just mentioned, Scott, that $6 billion. Now, I want to drill down on that. With this $6 billion, of course, the Biden administration is saying, well, we are going to be able to dictate where that goes to. Now, anybody in America who thinks for one second that the Ayatollah is going to use this for children's hospitals or to help the homeless is sadly mistaken. We know where this money is going to go. I mean, essentially, it was $1.2 billion per head of hostage that we traded. But if you don't want to look at it that way, you can look at it as that the fact that it was over half the cost of a squadron of F-35s. And what we did was give them this money. They will be able to utilize it, even if people keep eyes on it. They will take money they were going to spend on something else. This will end up in the hands of terrorists. This will end up in the hands of people who want to do harm to Americans and want to do harm to Israel. And this is an absolute, total disgrace. And it is a pathetic attempt at leadership.
Senator Britt, this administration, and you just touched on some of these with the Brittany Griner situation, this administration is developing quite the reputation for just getting whipped all over the place at the negotiating table by foreign countries. Where do we draw the line? What can Congress do? What can the Senate, what can the House do to bring this under control? Because he's got more time in office and can do a lot more damage.
He absolutely does, and I'm glad you brought that up. He said in an executive order in 2022, so in July, I think it was July 19th of 2022, he released an executive order, which was, 14,078, which in and of itself is a problem to see that we would be issuing executive order after executive order after executive order. But the Biden White House admitted that terrorist organizations and criminal groups and other malicious actors who take hostages for financial or political gain, that wrongful detention and, trying to get leverage on the United States and threaten the integrity of our political system and the safety of that should not be tolerated. Well, that's all we are seeing them do. And right. So what we've got to do is use the microphone that we have. You've seen some really outspoken leaders on this. Obviously, Senator Tom Cotton is one among many others. We have got to continue to bring this to light. We have got to continue to raise the awareness amongst Americans, because the truth is that we are weaker and more vulnerable every day that Joe Biden is the president. I mean, people see it, Scott, when they go to the grocery store or the gas station. They feel it when their friend's child dies of fentanyl poisoning, or they get up like I did this morning and read the devastating news of a 10-year-old boy who drowned in the river with his mother trying to cross. That is a direct result of also failed leadership, pathetic leadership by Joe Biden, because he continues to make it a shinier object for the drug cartels to use to entice people to come here, to put themselves in harm's way. And then we look at what's happening abroad. I want to be very clear. We've got to make sure that we invest in our military, that we invest in our national security, that we invest in our homeland, which is why it's so important that we pass these bills that are coming up. It's not only fiscally more responsible to pass things through regular order, which is what we are trying to do, than have a CR where the Biden administration gets to use the money as it sees fit, which is not helpful, but it also keeps us from having some type of omnibus bill. When you look at what our military is doing, Scott, when we are able to pass these bills and give them certainty, it helps us be able to deter the threat of China and others after we're seeing these disasters that Joe Biden has done. So that's what we can do. We can do our job. And I'm frustrated right now that I see people in D.C. that are not willing to stand up, get to the table, and figure out how to make those kinds of things work.
Well, let's shift to another one of the frustrating things facing our country. And unfortunately, we've got quite a little list we could talk about, given with whatever time we have. We are hearing the coronavirus mask mandates, seeing them start to raise their heads in different cities across the country, right on schedule as we're headed into another presidential election season. This is miraculously happening again. Yet I'm talking to people every day saying, yeah, I've actually tested positive for COVID, and it was like a really horrible cold for almost 24, 48 hours. Are we going to go down this path again, Senator, where we are forcing people to wear masks, shutting down schools? I don't think the temperature of this country is such that the American people are going to take this again.
Oh, bingo, Scott. And if I have anything to do with it, we will not be going down this path again. I was proud to stand with Senator J.D. Vance on the floor as he put forth the piece of legislation to say we are not going to have mask mandates again. We're not going to go through these draconian shutdowns and mask mandates. We see the immense amount of damage that they inflicted across our nation. And if you look at it, everything from the rise in our in mental health conditions and being very adverse there, if you look at what it did in the classrooms and setting back our children in an educational space, something that we are going to deal with for decades, I am afraid of. And you look at just what it did to small businesses, just everything across the board. And not only that, but just the facts themselves. Even the liberal New York Times, Scott, said there was no difference in states that had mask mandates and shutdowns to those who did not when it came to the outcome of the health of their communities. And so we know that they don't work. The science shows that this is not the way to end these things. We need to protect freedom. We need to protect liberty. And we need to keep banging this drum because we cannot let this happen, not only in our nation, but most importantly, we cannot let this happen to our children again.
And I want to point out, while you are correct, that it showed no difference in the health outcomes of the states that went into aggressive shutdowns versus states who did not. There was quite a bit of difference in the outcome economically of those states where businesses were allowed to stay open.
I think you are exactly right. And that we have to look at. And you look at what that does, Scott, the ripple effect of a small business being able to stay open, what those mean to communities, employing people, good paying jobs. You and I both know, as we've talked a lot about work requirements for government benefits, that, you know, part of the rationale for that is there is a dignity to an honest day's work. There is a pride that goes along with it. There is the ripple effect of that is tremendous. And we cannot take, in the face of Bidenomics, where we have inflation obviously up, where the cost of building a home has skyrocketed, mortgage rates, all of the things, gas prices, because Biden refuses to let us use our energy when we actually utilize our energy sources more safely, more reliable, and more efficiently, more responsibly than any other place on the planet. All of these things, the last thing that we could take would be yet another attempt to instill fear instead of keeping our eyes on the Lord, instill fear, shut us down, give the government more control. They want control, Scott, because the more they get, you're never getting it back from them. You're never getting right. It back. And so we have to stand firm. We have to stand for freedom and liberty and the American people.
Senator, our time is running short. We've got probably about 30 seconds left. I would like to at least bring up one more subject and give you a chance to comment on it. Just a few years ago, we were looking for independent, different surges at our southern border. We have progressed now to a constant, relentless surge at our southern border. How do we turn that around as we leave this segment?
We enforce our laws, Scott. We've got to finish building our barriers, enforce our existing immigration law. We cannot continue to give NGOs money to make it easier for people to come here illegally. We have the rules. We've got to put back and remain in Mexico. And we just have to have someone, a commander-in-chief, that's willing to do his job.
Senator Katie Britt, thank you for joining us this morning. If you'll stay with us, guys, we are going to take a quick break. I'm Scott Buttram filling in for Jeff Poore at Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.